Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
And welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Business Innovators Radio. I am your host, Marco Salinas. Today, I have joining me a very special guest, Mr. Dave Abrams. Dave is the team leader and agent of Abrams Real Estate Ties team, and that is with Phyllis Browning Company here in San Antonio, Texas. Dave has been a real estate agent for a little over 3 years now. And something very interesting about Dave is that he was in the Army for 32 years. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Marco. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, my friend. So we're going to talk a little bit about you today and what you do and who you help. And I think that there are going to be some listeners that will benefit greatly from this information that you're going to share with us. I think obviously people are always looking for a real estate agent because buying and selling a home is something that most people experience. The thing is that there are a lot of real estate agents out there. And so our conversations like this one and podcasts like this one allow people to identify and find someone that they can make a connection with and someone that they can feel like, you know what, I think that this individual understands me and relates to me and kind of knows my background and kind of knows where I'm coming from. And so that's what we're going to be talking about here today, Dave, is we want to know a little bit about your journey. And we want to talk about how that journey ties in with what you're doing now as a real estate agent and as a team lead with Phyllis Browning and with Abrams Real Estate Ties. So my first question for you, let's dive in. First question for you, Dave. Looking back, were there any signs or clues that you had the real estate agent gene in your DNA?
I guess it depends on how far you go back, but I know for sure, you know, in the opportunities I had to buy or sell a home as I was moving around the country with the Army, I certainly enjoyed the process when I was doing that and asked a lot of questions of the agents that I worked with and hired for those transactions. And so, you know, by the time I had to decide what I was going to do next after my Army career, that was one of the things I'd already considered. And you know, there's a lot of skills that are involved in being a real estate agent that are also cultivated during a military career. So it makes it pretty interesting.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. Can you describe to us a little bit about the person that you were prior to being a real estate agent? I've kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit You know, mentioned that you had a very long military career. Obviously that's probably a huge part of your identity.
Yeah.
That's not 32 years doing anything. You don't just leave it behind and it's gone and it's done, right? It stays with you. Probably had tons of relationships, tons of connections, all kinds of things. Talk a little bit about the person that you were before you came, military career, but tell us a little bit. Let's start with this. Start off with what kind of a student were you when you were young? Were you rebellious or were you rebellious?
I'm glad you asked that because I was going to say, you know, I'm going to go back before the Army because there was some stuff there that shaped me as well. And so, I grew up in a very, very tiny town. Most of your listeners that have teenage daughters will recognize the town of Forks, Washington, which is the setting for the entire Twilight series.
Oh, okay.
Long before there were vampires and werewolves, it was me and my family. And we lived on a little farm outside of the town. But I grew up very rural. I think every single one of my report cards from the time I was in kindergarten until I graduated from high school says, talks too much, does not meet full potential. And actually I was kind of at a loss for what to do with my life. So I enlisted in the Army, in 1987. And there's a whole story that goes along with that. But the bottom line was I'd been recruited to wrestle at a couple of colleges, but I was going to have to go to junior college. And I didn't feel like I was a junior college wrestler because I was kind of stupid and arrogant at the time. So I enlisted in the Army and I was really lucky to be recruited from the active duty Army after a couple of years of enlisted time to West Point. I wrestled at West Point, spent 4 years there. complete turnaround, and it was really sort of unbelievable for a lot of my high school teachers that I wound up making that happen. And really, it was a credit to my mom and dad that kind of had faith in me too. Graduated from West Point after 4 years, and then did another 26 years in the Army after that. I was in the Army up through the rank of colonel, and retired in 2019. So a little bit about sort of what kind of shaped me to put me into this real estate career. I think, I was an enlisted and officer. And, that is a very people centric business. Like, there are a lot of different things you can do in the Army that have you more responsible for systems and technology. But if you're in the infantry, like the number one, it's really, no matter where you're at in the military, the number one concern is your people, but you just have a lot more of them usually when you're in the infantry. So, as an officer, as you come up, you don't get enough opportunities to lead big groups, but you do have a lot of work in staff environments where you're responsible for project managing all sorts of different operations and operations management. And so those management experiences and the leadership experiences together really have prepared me for what's come here in the last few years.
Sure. Sure. I want to kind of narrow down a little bit more on that. Was there something kind of specific that inspired you to make that decision to become a real estate agent? Did you, some people will read a book.
Yeah.
Some people have a mentor. Like what really kind of was it that said, I'm going to go the real estate pathway?
Yeah. We probably don't have enough time to go through the entire story behind it, but I was deployed for the third time, to Kandahar, Afghanistan in 2017-18. All three times in Kandahar, actually. So I actually was, there were some people that called me the mullah of Kandahar, others that called me the mayor of Kandahar while I was there. So, but
like a second home.
Yeah, exactly right. When I got deployed for that third time, I got the orders to go for the third time. It was tough on the family. And I said, I'm going to retire when I get back. Like at that point, I knew I really could have stayed in the Army another 5 years, but I knew I didn't want to risk that for my family yet again, right? To leave them behind. But what that did is 2017-18, it gave me a full year. Plus I didn't retire till the end of, mid 2019. So I had almost 2 years to think about what I was going to do when I left. There's an entire industry. There are all kinds of Facebook and LinkedIn groups. There are all kinds of consultants that are geared around helping people transition from the military. I'm sure you've heard and seen it, military transition and things like that.
Sure.
So I read a lot of the literature about what do people do when they leave. I really had, at that point when I first started thinking about it, I wasn't thinking about being a real estate agent.
Okay.
But as I started to, one of the really important things that stuck with me was, there's a lot of turmoil usually in the first couple of years after a long military career is over, because people get a job and they hate it and they quit, and they get another job and they hate it and they quit, and they're kind of bumping around trying to figure out what they're going to do. Sure. So I studied that a little bit and I tried to figure out what was causing that. And I realized it was really about the lifestyle you want, the purpose you have, and the way people view you. And to me that, I started to think more about, okay, what are the criteria that guide me? I wanted to serve, first and foremost. I wanted to continue to serve, but I wanted to get away from government, because, that's a 30 years, in the government is a long time. And I wanted to get away from the hierarchy that other people imposed on me. Because, the military's got a lot of, I think there's a lot of great things about the military. I go on forever about what I learn and the traits I bring with me. But one of the things that I think most military folks don't realize while they're in is that there's so much more potential they have if they can just speak and act freely and instinctively to doing the things that, you know, but you get so wrapped up around, well, what is the boss going to think? What is the colonel going to think? What is the general going to think? And those sorts of things that, that it kind of stunts your growth in a lot of ways. So, so autonomy, service, and then, you know, the ability to sort of, be rewarded for the amount of work I put in, those were sorts of the things that guided me, to make the decision to become a real estate agent. I looked at buying a franchise instead. I almost became the San Antonio mosquito hunter. That was one of the franchises I looked at. Sure. And then
there are plenty of those in San Antonio.
Yeah, there are a lot of mosquitoes, you know.
Yeah.
And so I almost bought it, but then I realized that, like, I didn't, again, you know, even though you're an independent business owner, you're still beholden to the franchise. I didn't want to do that. And everybody's got a boss somewhere. I just prefer my boss be my clients, you know?
Sure.
And then I looked at the city government, just cause I think San Antonio city government is pretty cool. But, in that regard, like, I'll give you an example, as an army officer, I was responsible for, at one point, every document that went in front of the commander, who was responsible for all of the military, not just Army, but all of the military in South America, Central America, and the Caribbean, and everything that went in front of him, I had to read and be able to brief him on.
Wow.
And so I applied for a job as the operations manager of the Alamo Dome, which I thought was actually, you know, something I could do just based on my previous experiences. But because I'd never managed a sports facility, I was told, you're not qualified for this job.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and there's some truth to that. I'm not going to say I could just sit down and do it, but with all the other experiences that most of our military members bring, you know, there's a lot of things they could do that they just don't get considered for. So I decided, okay, I'm not going to, again, you know, kind of jump into the middle of some hierarchy that then puts a false ceiling on me. And that, all of those things led me to real estate.
Got
because
it.
I have more autonomy. I can grow a team the way I want to grow it, sure, learn from the best in the business, here at Phyllis Brown & Company. And then, you know, around the world, there's a lot of great, real estate, mentors and coaches and things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think 32 years of basically structure and, you know, hierarchy and follow the rules and, yep, there's that chain of command, right? I think you put in your time and, you know, in that environment, and it probably feels good to kind of, have a little bit more of that freedom and a little bit more of that control over what you do and how you do it. You know, I'm sure you're enjoying every minute of that now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just one thing I'll say on that is, you know, you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? So, you know, you can take it to the extreme and just be like, I'm never combing my hair again. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I am growing a beard, right? I'm growing a beard because I couldn't grow a beard for 32 years, but, you know, I still get up every day, work out, you know, I'm trying to get better at blocking my calendar. You know, the things that made you successful in the military, you carry those things with you and they will make you successful anywhere you go.
Certainly.
So my opinion.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. And I think we've all seen and know people that prior to joining, it was like, you know, you're kind of a mess, man. And, you know, and then after a few years in the military, they pick up some really good habits. They absolutely do. They got discipline. Yeah, exactly. So it's certainly not something like it's all bad or anything. It's just, there is a whole lot of them telling you what to do. And that's just, this is just a different ball game when you're able to take that discipline, but then do what you want with it, right? Kind of the best of both worlds. So I think that's great. Dave, what was the reaction from your family, from friends, once you let them know that you had made this decision that you were going to go, you weren't going to be the mosquito guy, you were going all in on real estate?
Yeah, it's funny. So start with my wife, Carolyn, who is, you know, a wise woman. She was like, you know that real estate agents work mostly on nights and weekends, right? I said, well, you know, maybe someday I'll be able to back off from nights and weekends. That hasn't proven to be the case yet, but you know, but we can still, I take time when I want to take it. And, you know, I just tell folks, hey, I'm, you know, the next 4 days I'm not doing any work, but for the most part, yeah, it's a lot of busy time.
It sure so beats, her
yeah,
it sure beats, Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. At least I'm sleeping in the same bed anyway. So
exactly.
Yeah. And then, you know, my folks were excited. Like, you know, one thing about my folks, and my mom passed this year, but my dad, still, you know, both of them have always had the faith in me that I would do well, whatever I did, even when I was the worst possible student in high school and had run away from home for months on end and those sorts of things that, you know, that crazy kids do. They still had faith that it was all going to turn around, because what they saw in me more than I saw in myself at the time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is absolutely awesome. What about your friends?
Yeah, I've been very supportive and excited and you know, and have been really, the foundation of bedrock for what's become my business in a lot of ways. Yeah. And it's been great.
That's fantastic.
And in fact, some of my West Point classmates are real estate agents around the country. We've got a very tight, and not just classmates, but West Point grads in general. We've got a real tight, community of folks that talk to each other and help each other out, mentor each other. And a lot of younger, much younger than me, that I'm being mentored by. And, you know, so that's one thing that I've learned since I've left the Army, that I think, it just doesn't come across very well in the Army, but, you know, in the Army, because the structure is the way it is, typically the person above you is a few years older and the person above him is a few years older than that. And so you tend to equate, age and rank and expertise all together.
Sure.
There's some late 20, early 30 year old real estate agents out there that are just amazing. They're not just hustlers. They're not just like flashy. They're very good servants of their clients, and they've got great systems and they're using technology. So I'm learning from a lot of those much younger than me, as well as the ones that have been in the business for a long time. So
yeah, there's some real substance there, huh?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
That's great. Yeah. And you know, sometimes, you get really good at what you do and you reach a certain status in a different career, and then you leave that and you're kind of, in a sense, starting all over, right? I mean, you're kind of back at the bottom again here. And so it does, sometimes it requires some humility from us, right? We have to be willing to say, this guy is the same age as my son, but he's out there, you know, coaching me and he's killing it. You know, I mean, those things do happen in life sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I swear by it. And yeah. I think the word humility is the cornerstone of success, to be honest.
I agree.
What happens when people, I think that more often than not, when people fall from the top is because they've stopped being humble and they got to a point where nobody can teach them anything and, you know, and believe they're the smartest person in the room. And the next thing you know, the door's not open to them anymore in the room they were in charge of. So yeah, humility.
Exactly. And I think that's a perfect segue to my next question, Dave. I wanted to ask you about some failures that you've experienced in life. Not everybody likes to talk about these, but you know, I myself personally, I study a lot of business guys and a lot of the greats. And the common thing that I see over and over again was that they had a lot of failure.
Yeah.
But the key was that they got back up.
Right.
They kept moving forward. Right. They persisted. You did talk a little bit about some of your adolescent years being a little, being a little rebellious, but having that strength of your parents and them seeing potential in you that you couldn't even see in yourself. Maybe you can just kind of touch on that, or maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was something from your military career, but have you had any failures that you kind of recognize now that are contributing to the success that you're seeing today?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of times where you look back and go, "Ooh, I wish I'd have done that a little bit differently." You know, whether it's, you know, kind of there's sort of micro failures, right? Where you're in a meeting and you say something in a way that creates a you know, an emotional reaction that you didn't intend, So those are little, there's little things like that. I try to learn from those every day. Major failures, you know, I had a failed marriage in life, and that I learned a lot from that about relationships and being a better human being, and also, you know, managing, my money and those sorts of things, came out of that relationship, in tremendous amount of debt, and sort of, you know, where I was in my mid-30s and should have had it all together. I was kind of starting over at that point. So that was a big one for me. You know, when I was kind of getting towards the senior ranks in the Army, you know, there were a few things where I think if I'd have managed my relationships better in the Army, I might have, you know, I almost didn't make it to full colonel. I actually got passed over for promotion, which, I mean, you know, in a career in the Army, to retire as a lieutenant colonel is extremely successful. To be able to stay in and, you know, and get promoted up to where you can retire is a successful career no matter what. So, but I had some pretty high aspirations, and then just through a series of kind of not being diligent about what jobs I was willing to take and that sort of thing. I mean, it's hard to explain unless you're a military layperson, but there's certain things that you have to kind of make sure you do, keeping your records straight and volunteering for some difficult jobs and those sorts of things if you want to stay on path to, say, be a general someday. And I didn't do those things that were required. Actually, as a result of that, I was passed over for promotion to colonel. And so I think what I learned from that is a couple of things. One is, no matter what level you are, there's always somebody that can teach you something, and it's not always somebody that, you know, and there's different categories, right? There's the folks that have done what you're doing right now and more in their life successfully. So you can learn from them because they've got that experience and wisdom. And then there's the people that are to your left and right that are doing things right now in a way that you either want to emulate or you want to avoid, and you can learn from them. And then there's also the people that are younger than you, that are coming up, you know, to the place where you are now, and you see how they're doing things. You're like, man, I wish I had done that. So you can kind of learn from all of those experiences as you're moving through.
Absolutely.
And then in failures in real estate, when I first got started, I had a listing actually listed by Anthea, or the owners, Anthea Schlebeck, who's one of my teammates. She works, she's a realtor for me up in Austin, and her husband Ryan had a house that they'd flipped in San Antonio. It was a renovation house. It was my first listing, and through a series of just learning, it took us in a market where the market was on fire. You know, it was about, this is 2019, 2020, 21. This is really late 2019 when I was first getting licensed. It wouldn't sell. We had 150 showings and no contracts written on it.
Wow.
And we kept going in and fixing little things. And then we would get more showings and the feedback would change. And we'd fix the next thing and the feedback would change. But I learned just from that one listing, when we finally did about five things to it over time and then staged it and then retook the photos with staging furniture in it, we got it to a level where it sold immediately. And so that one listing has shaped the way I approach my business, whether it's a $1 million home in Copper Ridge in New Braunfels or $150,000 listing in Los Angeles Heights. Like, I do it the same. So if you look at 1407 Kings Highway, which is a listing of mine that needs foundation work, it's got holes in the walls, but it's also a really nice house that just needs some work, and it's got staging furniture in it, and it's clean, and all the light bulbs work. Like, it's got all of the, you know, so when you walk in, you're like, wow, this is a nice house. We just need to do a little foundation work to get it up. But a lot of people don't do that because, well, it's just a little, you know, it's an investment property. What do I need to stage it for? You want it to look the very best no matter what. And so anyway, that's probably a little bit more than you were asking. But
no, that's all right. No, that's really good. And man, Dave, I really appreciate your transparency on that, man. I mean, it's, again, not everybody, it's usually not the first topic we want to discuss, right? Is the mistakes that we've made and the things that we've had to correct. But the reality is, this is a part of life, man. I mean, we're all going to do it. We're human. We're not perfect. The key is just learning from these things. And as you mentioned, I really love the example that you gave, especially about your first listing, because maybe 3 years later, you're still very much keeping that very first transaction in mind, right? And that will probably never leave. You will probably always, at least a little bit, think about that. And so I think that that's really important. And that's kind of the point that we're kind of trying to drive home here is, you know, those events do shape us, and we learn from them, and then we get better and we get better. So that's fantastic. I want to go a different direction now, Dave. I'm looking a little bit more for what you're doing now. You know, I want you to describe your current business.
Okay.
The types of people that you help, the problems that you solve. I guess what you could say is, what's it like being Dave Abrams, real estate agent today?
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, it's thanks for the opportunity to do that. So I'll start by saying, I don't want this to come off as bragging, because I've been just extremely fortunate. But in 2019, that transaction I described and a couple of the transactions were just sort of trying to get started in real estate. But in 2020, things took off. And over the course of 2020, I did over 30 transactions. I did a little over $10 million worth of business. I was the Phyllis Brown & Company Rookie of the Year for 2020. One of the very few rookies that had done $10 million worth of business. I think there's maybe two others in the 30-year history of the company.
That's great.
2021, you know, that continued, that increase continued, and I really made a goal to try to, you know, double my business. Brought on Rich Bailey, who's a member of my team. We weren't a team yet. He was a backup agent for me for 21, but we did 57 transactions together, $21.7 million worth of business. And then now, in our goal for 22 is 30 million. We've got 28.7 closed and about 5 million under contract right now that might close before the end of the month. So, I think we're going to hit the goal. But it was this year. What happened was, though, during the 2021 rise, right? And of course, as everybody knows, that's when the market was just absolutely insane up through the spring of this year. Even with Rich and I, and I've got also, so Rich is a retired warrant officer. And then also brought on Danielle, who works from Columbus, Georgia, the home of Fort Benning, the infantry, the maneuver arm of the, anybody who's an Army person that knows what Fort Benning is all about. But her husband is a former Ranger, now a physician's assistant. And he was an infantryman as well. And Danielle's a active duty spouse with three kids, but she does all of our back end stuff. So she does, kind of personal, she's a licensed agent as well. But she does personal assistant stuff, and then all of our transaction coordinating, and she can do that from wherever she's at. So Rich and Danielle and I worked together in 21. But even with the three of us, we realized, like, once you get over 50 or 60 transactions in a year, like, you need to be able to put different people in charge of a group of transactions, because otherwise, individual clients don't get the kind of care they need. So that's when the Abrams Real Estate Ties team was born, was coming out of our sort of lessons learned from 21 and realizing we wanted to make sure that, that we had the right level of care for people. So in 22, it took us a little while to get started in 22. We had a couple of interviews and a couple of, 3 or 4 weeks at a time where we tried out agents that just didn't work out. They didn't have the right level of commitment and values that we were looking for. But we finally brought on Valerie Adams. Val is, is a former Army spouse, 30 years her husband served. And so she's done, you know, they've done a lot of real estate around the country like I have, buying and selling. And she's been an agent for about a year. She's on our team. And we brought on another retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, Tim Culpepper. He's an agent and also does a lot of our digital marketing stuff. And so that's the core of the team in San Antonio. We also brought on Thais Lebeck. You're probably going to see a little bit of a trend here, but she's a former Army officer and a veteran with about 10 years or plus or minus in Expedia as a tech exec before she decided to go full-time real estate. So we're all right now, and I've got a couple other folks. I work a lot with Amanda Rivera. She's not officially a member of the team, but she's just an incredibly great agent here in San Antonio that we work with on Phyllis Brown and Company as well. And she's the only one that's not military connected, but she also can help us out with a lot of other things that, you know, just understanding, you know, from the non-military side of things, you know, when we're talking to people, if we're coming off as, you know, as less sensitive or whatever, you know, so it's sure. Good to have, you know, that feedback for us all the time. So in the process of forming the team, you know, I wear a bow tie whenever I close a deal. I actually did a video interview that's on my YouTube channel that explains why I wear the bow tie. But in short, it's a symbol of respect for my clients. They've just done this massive, you know, the biggest transaction or some of the biggest transactions they'll do in their life, you know, unless they're doing mergers and acquisitions for a big company or something. And so because of that, you know, the bow tie is sort of the level of concierge or you know, like a maitre d', right? I'm serving them and I want to make sure they understand that.
Oh, I love that.
And then, but it also is a callback to, so the hashtag is I only close in bows. Hashtag I only close in bows on any social media platform. And I think I might be the only one that uses it. So you'll see a lot of stories, you know, that I do, things I talk about in social media. But then the other thing that we did is we decided that the logo should have our values in it. And the number one, the most important thing in any position like this is trust, right? You want to be able to build trust with your clients, with the people that you're going to serve. And then, and how do you build trust? Well, it's actually looking at our acronym backwards. So you serve, you're an expert, and you have integrity. And if you serve, you're an expert, and you have integrity, you're going to have the trust of your clients. And so that's the TIES logo, TIES, is trust, integrity, expertise, and service. So I kind of went off of the line of questioning there, but that's sort of what brings us to where we are today now with five active agents, plus a, you know, a full-time admin on our staff. We're doing, you know, anywhere from three to seven or eight transactions at any given time, depending on, you know, whether it's peak season, which is about May through August, or now I think we've got four properties under contract at the moment. We're full time. We're always available for folks who are interested in real estate, whether they're ready to buy and sell right now or they're thinking about it for the next year. You know, so we make ourselves available. All of us are committed to doing this for the right reasons, which is, you know, making sure that our clients are taken care of and that they get, you know, to me, a successful transaction is not whether or not it's closed. It's whether or not it's the right fit. And I think all of us feel that way. We, you know, none of us are desperate to just close a deal unless it's the right thing for our clients. I hope that answered the question. I kind of got off the.
That's all right. That's actually exactly what I was looking for, and you did a magnificent job of explaining. And it sounds to me like basically, if I had to summarize, really your team is what makes the difference, right? I mean, the team is everything, and you've got that like-minded, similar mindset from y'all's military backgrounds, and it's a very much a I got your six kind of a, you know, kind of a point of view, right? You just moved it over and applied it to the real estate transaction and to the client, you know, making sure.
So, yeah. And so it's a really interesting, there's an interesting kind of trend or not, I don't know if it's a trend, but theory I have, I guess is the right word. Every transaction is a, you know, there's a group of people that are working towards a goal, right? And when there's a group of people working towards a goal, what's one way that can turn into chaos? If there's no
leadership.
Exactly. So every single transaction is a leadership problem or a leadership or requires a leadership solution. And that's really what we bring to the table, I think, as much as anything, is that ability to kind of form a team. So there's a different, it's a different team for every transaction, because who are your teammates? Your teammates are your buyers or your sellers. Your teammates are your inspectors. Your teammates are your lenders. And here's a piece that makes, I think, that sets us apart in a lot of ways from a lot of the rhetoric that's out there. The agent on the other side is your teammate as well. Sure. And so is the person on the other side. 90% of the people in the world that are buying or selling a home don't want to screw the person on the other side. They want to sell. The other person wants to buy. They want to be proud of what they left behind. The other person wants to get a good deal. Like, yep. So, you know, there might where you're always going to serve your client to help them get the best deal. You're always going to serve your client to make sure that they don't, that nothing bad happens to them. But every, you know, there's not, I call it collaboration, right? We're collaborating. We're not competing. So it's a, but you know, there's some things that we can stand off and look at each other and negotiate on. But we're working together towards a common goal, which is to help somebody buy or sell a house.
I love that.
And so just a leadership, it becomes a leadership thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dave, let's wrap up here. I just have a couple of more questions for you, and we'll close out on a much lighter note. I'm curious, and I'm sure your prospective clients are also curious about Dave Abrams does outside of work, right? You're not just this 24/7. Well, maybe you are this 24/7 work machine, but you still have, you know, you still do take time to recharge for business. So what are your hobbies and who do you spend your non-business time with typically?
Yeah. So, you know, because I do work so much, I try to spend my non-business time with family, whether it's, you know, my wife and my oldest here in San Antonio, or I will, fly out to Washington when I can to spend time with my dad, my 81-year-old dad who still lives out there. My brother and sister are still out there as well. I always make fun of, not really make fun of myself, I guess a little bit. My brother, owns and operates a logging company in Washington State. It's about a $10 million company roughly. Didn't go to college. He just started running a company when he was 19. He literally said, I'm going to start hiring some people and I'm going to cut trees down. And now he's got this big company.
Wow.
And my sister, had run a fitness company that she started for 20 some years. And so here I am, a colonel in the Army. And I'm always, when, you know, back before I started real estate, telling them, you know, someday I'll be as successful as y'all. And they're like, well, what are you're doing this great thing in the Army. I said, yeah, but you know, until you've started and run your own company, like you can't really consider yourself successful. I mean, yeah, that's not necessarily true. I don't want to overstate it, but like, you know what I'm saying.
I'm catching your drift.
So
I understand
there is something about just being the responsible for success or failure, you know, of a company that's a big deal. So anyway,
sure.
But so I spend time with them. I love to fish. I fish for salmon in the Pacific Northwest. I go out here in the, I like to go down to South Padre Island when I can get away. It's just far enough away, where I can get away, you know, and really consider it sort of a break. So I fish in the intercoastal for speckled trout and redfish there. Here in town, I'll play a little bit of golf. That helps me recharge, or I'll go to one of the card houses and donate a couple $100 to the professional poker players.
Nice.
Cause I don't go enough to be good enough at it, but that's one of the few things that I'll do. That's, you know, sort of, out by myself.
Sure.
And then, let's see, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah. As far as the fun, I love to spend time with the family though. So my oldest May is in the senior at Cole High School and go to the band, you know, things like that. So.
Sure. Yeah. Supporting those extracurricular activities that the kids do is that's another part-time job in itself in a sense sometimes, but it's all worth it. You know,
let me tell you what I forgot too. So some charitable organizations that I'm part of. So I'm a board director for, two different, organizations. I'm going to give them a shout out. And they mean a lot to me and that's why. So, the first one is the Captain Joseph House Foundation, which is Joseph Schultz was a special forces officer killed in Afghanistan. And his mother had at the time she owned in Port Angeles, Washington, a bed and breakfast. She's converted that bed and breakfast into a respite home for Gold Star families. And what they do is essentially it's all expense paid trip for Gold Star families to spend a week together. In the house, getting to know each other and sort of helping each other, you know, kind of quantify what life looks like after the loss of their soldiers, moving on, but with honor of the folks that die. Because that's the Captain Joseph House Foundation, CaptainJosephHouse.org. And then the Veteran Mentor Project, Inc., VMPI. Veteran Mentor Project, Inc. is kind of a startup veteran mentoring organization. I'm on the board for that as well. And that was started by the brother of a West Point classmate of mine who committed suicide after he left the military. And the idea is, you know, for folks who are struggling with that life after the military, how do we, you know, folks that have been able to make that transition, it's not just veterans, it's also first responders as well. So the idea is for folks who are having a hard time or who are thinking about having a hard time thinking about what they're going to do when they leave, you know, we help them by assigning a mentor to kind of work with them as they go through the transition process. And then the other one I'm active in locally is called Wear Blue, Run to Remember. It's another Gold Star benefit that was started by a lady named Lisa Hallett. When her husband was killed in Afghanistan, actually on a deployment I was on in 2009. So those are the, you know, kind of veteran focused charities that I work with when I can. So,
yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And the more that we can spread the word about these type of things, the better. So I'm glad that you took the time to mention that.
Thanks for letting me.
Wrapping it up here, Dave, how can we find out more about you if someone listening or reading wants to know more about Dave Abrams in your real estate business or just to simply continue to follow your journey? How can they reach you?
So you can catch me on Instagram and on Facebook and on LinkedIn. Just if you know my name, David Abrams. You can also go to my website at www.realestateties.com, www.realestateties.com. And then if you like and follow my social media, eventually you'll get an opportunity to see me on the American Dream TV network, because I was just picked up to be a host of a 5-minute episode every other month in San Antonio. And it's a lifestyle and culture show where I get to highlight special places in San Antonio that I like. So that'll be on my first episode. Actually, I'm gonna have two episodes in February. And just check out the American Dream TV network. And so those are places where you can, and of course on this podcast, I appreciate you letting me be part of it.
Absolutely, Dave. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Thank you for sharing all this great information about your journey and how you had quite the turnaround, my friend, quite the turnaround. So it took 35 years or so, but you know, it's still pretty significant. So thank you again very much for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Marco. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. And that does it, guys, for another episode of Business Innovators Radio. We'll catch you here next time. Have a good one.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.